Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb on a throwback Thursday on the day we celebrate the birthday of Jason Bateman. I think one of America's greatest actors.
Yeah.
Of all time.
I don't think that's...
That's not far off,
no,
right?
No, I don't think it is.
Guy that's been around for like 40 years, man. He's great. Just turning 52 today, so you do the math. All right, what is the good of the day, Mr. Culver?
We have the first TikTok trend for 2021.
Oh, and this one is?
Usually, you know, we kind of make fun of them.
Yeah.
This one I kind of like. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But the TikTok trend started with one guy just doing the Wellerman sea shanty.
Okay.
You know,
I'm a little
sea shanties,
lost
right?
on that. Yeah, I know. But.
And what's happening is that, like, people just keep adding their stuff onto his original. And so it's just growing and growing and growing. So I grabbed a sound bite so you can hear what it is.
Okay.
Right? First, it'll start off with just the guy singing the verse. And then when the chorus comes in, you can hear how there's like three or four other people who joined in.
Ship that put to sea, the name of the ship was a Billy of Tea. The winds blew up her bow, dipped down a below my Billy boys blow.
Soon may the weatherman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing
all
is
right.
done, we'll take our leave and go.
That was good.
See, now, what I can see is that it's fun now, but this could end up in the dump, you know, like next week.
Yeah, sure. But still, good. That sounded great.
But this, I mean, safe.
Yeah.
It's COVID friendly because right. you just record in your own house or studio or whatever.
Yeah.
And then
that's
there's
pretty
a,
good.
There's another viral video of a guy, two guys driving, and one of the guys keeps looking at his friend who's singing the song, like, dude, this is the dumbest thing in the world. And it just keeps cutting to him getting more into it, and then at the end, they're both singing it.
That's good.
It's kind of
That's
funny.
Good. That brings us all together.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Very good.
I don't know. I just, you know, I was rocking around the house with it. Everyone was looking at me crazy, but I'm like, yeah, I like it.
That's good. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Oh, you mean the bad?
I mean the bad
you
of the
you
day.
Already you already put
We're
that in the bad. Look how
no,
the
I actually
sea
thought
shanty
that
rubbed
was good.
Off on you. So quick. Like, oh, that's bad. The bad of the day was the Office obsession that Americans had this past year.
The Office obsession? The TV show?
The TV show with...
It was on Netflix, and now it's on Peacock?
Yes. Americans watched over 58 billion minutes of the show in 2020.
That's amazing.
Now, for context, I decided to... I didn't do the math. I just punched it into the Googleator, and it gave it for me. There's only 525,600 minutes in a year. If you've ever watched Rent, you would know that.
Okay, so if you were to watch all...
That's just how many minutes are in a year.
So how many? So do the math of how much we all watched The Office during quarantine.
Yeah, it was 58 billion minutes. If it was just you watching 58 billion minutes of whatever, it would take you 110,000 years.
Wow. That's great.
Just
Good
to give you
office.
A scope of like how much people were watching The Office.
Now, this is, I don't know much about this, so I'm just going to, I think I heard or read this somewhere, and that's one of the reasons the Peacock is appealing, because they took The Office and now they have it, and if
yeah.
people want it, they have to subscribe to NBC's new streaming channel.
Yep. That,
you
I, mean,
and I was talking to my actually, wife about I mean, this the other day, which was...
It's a good
we
show.
We have cable, and we keep talking about cutting the cord, and then we have all of these streaming services, and I'm like, I think we are paying more for entertainment on our TV than at any point in my life.
Yes.
I was like, I have all of these streaming services, plus I'm not getting rid of cable. This is the most I've ever paid for television in my life. I was like, and then I thought about like my grandmother, like in Brooklyn. I don't think she's ever paid for television in her entire life. She always had over the air TV.
Or
she
maybe
had,
just
she always had the antenna.
Maybe just like the standard like $30 to be connected.
If I'm not mistaken, I think my father and my Uncle David put in one of the digital antennas that you have to, that you remember you had to go digital when
yeah.
it was went from
yep.
analog. And I think they did that for it, and I think that was it. And I thought all of the money that I've paid for television since I don't know, since I got out of college my whole life.
Yeah.
And it just keeps increasing. And I keep wanting these streaming services.
Oh, it's getting crazier. Now I keep getting hit. I just noticed this last bill that I got. I'm getting hit with these additional charges because we keep going over our data. I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah.
But there's only a certain amount of data that, you know, our cable company provides, and we keep going over it because I got a wife that's working from home. I got two kids who are going to school from home. Plus, you know, then their downtime is pretty much, you know, streaming online video games.
Remember there used to be those stories that came out early in the internet where it was like, this couple found out their son downloaded a movie before their flight, and they were hit with a $17,000 bill. Yep. Remember those stories?
Oh, they still exist.
Do they still exist? We kind of figured out how not to do that anymore.
I saw a story not too long ago where a kid got a hold of his parents' credit card and just kept buying game after game or buying in-game things. And it was like racked up like over $10,000.
Oh, okay.
And there was nothing. She had to pay it.
Yeah, she had to pay it.
You know,
but I mean, like that is like legitimately, I stole mom's credit card and I racked up and I know what I was buying. And if I was smart, I know what I was doing. These stories were innocent. Like, yeah, I guess you could download the movie on the phone, right? I guess that'd be fine. And then next thing you know, they were getting bills for thousands and thousands of dollars because they didn't understand the inner workings of how this was. Like, you were overtime and it was in this location and it was roaming. And by the way, you know, you owe us pretty much your house.
I feel that way anyway with the cable bill. Every time it comes each month, it's like, take out a loan.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just to pay cable, kids.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
I got two.
Two, okay.
And the first one, I don't really know if it's dumb. I'm kind of excited to see where it goes. I just didn't know where to put it. But GM has developed a flying Cadillac.
A flying Cadillac.
Yeah, it's kind of like if a drone that you would see, you know, kids play with, or, you know, people play with, you know, how they make Super Bowl things or whatever. You know, you've seen the high drones. It's kind of like they married a drone with a taxi, in a way.
Got it. Okay.
And
this thing actually will fly?
This thing will actually fly. It was debuted at, you know, CES 2021 is happening right now, and it's all virtual. Usually a big, big hit in Vegas. Vegas is just, God, I don't know how Vegas is going to survive the pandemic.
Right.
But it's a flying Cadillac. It's a self-driving vehicle which takes off and lands vertically and carries the passenger above the streets and through the air. So it's really just for city use. And it's just going to go from like one building to another building.
How much force does it use to lift off the ground, and does it cause problems?
It is fully autonomous and all electric with a 90 kilowatt motor.
Wow. I'm not an engineer.
I don't pretend
to be one, but that's amazing.
And it goes, speeds are up to 55 miles per hour.
No, I would never, ever be. No. I would never be. Well, you know what? I take that back. If I'm in a flying car, I don't think it matters what speed I'm in anyway. So even at 20 miles an hour, I'd probably be a little nervous.
I don't know if this is dumb, if it's bad, if it's good. I just don't know yet.
Yeah, we don't know. It's like the self-driving cars.
Right.
I have literally gone from I'm absolutely getting one to I will never be in one my whole life.
Yeah, I don't need
that. Like, I have gone through the extremes of the self-driving car.
Oh,
where 20-year-old me was like, that's amazing.
1985, when Back to the Future came out and we saw Doc go, roads? We don't need roads.
Right.
We're all like, I'm on board.
Yeah, and I did the math and I'm like, I'm young enough to enjoy that technology.
Yep.
I'll be around in 2015, hopefully, and I'll be young enough to be able to get a flying car like that. Sure. But, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it looks cool.
Yeah,
it does. I mean, I don't know how many are in production yet, but it's literally just a one man capsule that will lift off from one building and go to another building. So
sounds good.
If you don't want to be bothered by streets, you go on this, but you got to have a flat roof. This thing's, you know, you're not landing like at the Empire State Building.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, all right. What's the second dumb?
Nickelodeon's Gabrielle Neva Green.
Okay.
Remember,
I do not know who that is.
She was the young lady who was part of the NFL broadcast.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the broadcast, so I don't know who she is, but I remember the broadcast.
But you know of her. I think we did talk about her, and it was, I guess, you know, it was good. But anyways, prior to the broadcast, she received Tony Romo's 800-page packet of game notes.
He has wow.
That was where the dumb. That's exactly how I looked. Is like, why does he need 800 pages of game notes?
Oh my God. 800 pages of game. Listen, I'm starting to feel bad because all my life, my entire career that I did play by play, I was really meticulous with notes. I think the most I ever brought to a game was 10.
That's why you're not making $1 million a game.
Apparently not. I mean, I'm way short.
Now you know. Now you know that if you're going into this, you need to get 800. I can't even fathom 800 page. An 800-page packet.
I would love to see this.
Game.
I'm not kidding. As a broadcaster, I would love to see the notes because I've done many, many football games where I brought a little package of every player, what they do. You try to prepare as best you can. But I've never brought 800 pages to a game. Not even close. Again, like I said, probably the most was 10 pages in a football game.
Right.
That was about as much as I could manage because, I mean, more than that, you're really scrambling to try to find the stuff. You want to be like, and that tackle made by Joe Simmons and hold on. That's his third sack this season. Like you want to be able to have stuff quick.
And who has to put this together each week?
Who puts that together for him? That's a book.
I mean, I don't know if it's every single week. I don't, but she was handed an 800 page packet of notes, and she quickly was like, "What do I need this for?"
I would love to see what's in those notes. I would love to see what's in.
I mean, is it like a 2-page biography on every single player?
Yeah,
ever.
Yeah. God, well, as an analyst, you're probably doing it differently than a play-by-play guy, but still, it's still a lot.
There are certain guys that you have probably have notes on that you'll never talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to really talk about the holder.
Where's your producer? Isn't he supposed to be in your ear telling you this stuff
exactly.
Anyway at that level?
Isn't he on the Google?
Yeah.
Just Googling it real quick. Okay,
exactly.
Yeah, had this many yards in 2000.
Like, you think when Joe Buck goes, and the last time this happened was in 1975, do you think he knows that off the top? Of course he does. Somebody's telling him in his ear, hey, Joe, by the way, last time this happened was in 1975. Great. And then don't you think Romo's people handle, like, he, look, at that level, when you're the number one analyst, you probably have your own staff, right? Your own people that help you every single week. You know, you probably put together your team. Their job is to help you navigate every single game. So I'm sure that 800 pages, that's crazy.
It was Saints Bears.
Right. Exactly.
Come on.
Exactly.
What don't you know about the Saints then?
What's it for the Super Bowl? When you get to the Super Bowl, what is it? 7 volumes? Was it an encyclopedia?
The Encyclopedia Britannica.
It's like a bill in the house.
No, you know what it is? It's that scene from Santa Claus. Yeah, we got a shipment for you. Hey, leave it in the doorway.
Yeah, exactly. Pay book after book after book. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a throwback Thursday as we continue with Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.